When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Meta Show. Today is March the 23rd, 2024. You are watching the most popular, the most watched, the longest running, the most loved, the most hated EVE talk show of all time.
By the tallest, too. The tallest.
And the tallest. Definitely the tallest.
Although Matt was
pretty
margin.
Tall, but you're taller than all of us, so it's okay.
Yes. Driving that average up.
I am Brisker Ball, joined alongside the one, the only, Mr. Mark Resurrectus. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I see you have the pit vipers on.
It's one of those days.
Huh? I do. I had the pit vipers on. I've been out in the sun today. What limited sun we've been able to procure here in West Georgia. No, Brisk, it's a beautiful day. And honestly, Brisk, I'm so glad to have you back to my show, the Meta Show. I have not seen you in some time.
There you go. I missed last week. I was on vacation.
That's true. Did you go see a ball game?
I went to Orioles spring training, which was very good. I got to see all the prospects I wanted to see. And then I'm looking forward to Thursday, which is also opening day, and I'll be going to the opening day. So we're going to have some fun.
It's good. It's good.
And what I did miss during the last 2 weeks, though, was a ton of EVE stuff. These are collar tabs, unlike last night on Rampage. This is normal collar stuff. We have missed a ton of EVE stuff. We have with us today Arcadius Soul, our favorite FC from Goonswarm Federation. Arcadius, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, Arcadius?
We're going to chat with our boy Arcadius here in a little bit. But before that, I've got a lot of stuff to talk to you people about, okay? And it starts 2 weeks ago on this show. Now, if you remember, 2 weeks ago on the Meta Show.
Was this the one where you were talking shit for like an hour?
I talked shit by myself for an hour during...
It was a really good show.
The aborted attack on the F4R2 Keepstar, which never actually happened because, well, we attacked it and they never defended it. And it was a shame because we were all looking forward to a big fight. And as Asher noted, and as I noted on the show, and we made clear to all of our friends in PandaFam, we set the table for you. Everything was there and you guys never showed up. And I want to say, I'm not taking full credit for what happens next. But I do want to point out that a lot of people watched that show. It was one of our most watched shows, especially considering that I was the only one on the show. Mark wasn't even there, and that means all of his screaming and adoring fans that are normally here because they want to see that beard in action, they weren't here for him. So this was it was extra special that I was able to command that kind of an audience, especially considering I'm no one. Definitely not an EVE celebrity.
Just a line member. Just a line member. Yeah.
Right. So I want to go back and tell you, this is what has happened over the last 2 weeks. And what we have seen more than anything over the last 2 weeks is a ridiculous number of excuses coming from PanFam, especially from our boy Gobbins. If you, in the meantime, right before I get to move to the next screen, I'm going to tell you guys all now, if you don't want to see ads, subscribe to the channel and you won't see any ads. That's the best way not to see any ads. Now, and if you are a nice friend and you want to help somebody who is stuck seeing an ad, not see an ad again, you could buy them a sub. Anyway, moving on. This was what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the excuses beginning 2 weeks ago, right after this show, that we heard from our boys in PandaFam. First of all, excuses. Number one. This is what happens. March 7th. PanFam passes on the F4R2 Keepstar fight. We talk about it on the show. We give everybody a hard time. And what, pray tell, is the response? Well, we got to hear from Gobbins himself explaining a whole bunch of stuff to his people in pings. Now, one of the things I have to say, if you are in the Imperium, you hear Asher's voice every week. He does a fireside every week. He does meetings with his people every week. At a minimum, you have a chance to interact, no matter who you are, line member, major person, CEO of a corp, a complete nobody like me, you have a chance to interact with Asher every single week. You will hear voice every single week. And then we have this show where we do all kinds of propaganda for you people, amongst others. And it's open to anybody. You can watch it. The bad guys can watch it. Mm-hmm. Random, you know, regular people who don't care about Eve can watch it. I don't know why they would, but sometimes they do.
I could probably get a response out of Asher in like 30 seconds if I just DM'd him right now. In fact, I'm going to.
I cannot tell you, however, when was the last time anybody has heard Gobbins' voice? They don't do weekly calls. They don't do weekly States of the Goonion. I guess they would call States of the Beanion. They don't do those types of things like we do. So what you hear for most of the time from Gobbins is a random ping, and he will go back and forth in pings, and that's what you hear. So this is probably the only time that a Horde person is going to hear from Gobbins, and I wouldn't be surprised if more Horde players heard what Gobbins says to his people from us on this show than they do directly from the pings. But anyway, on March 10th, he starts making excuses for what happened in F4R2 because I think we got under his skin and kind of pissed off a lot of the line members in Horde because their leadership did not take that fight when it was a good fight they could have taken and would have probably done pretty well in. He goes, last night, Innit deployed the Curse next to the Ketch front line. This is interesting because fights were already not happening in EU and US time zone due to overwhelming numbers on the enemy side. For example, the last big EU form up in this theater was in the middle of January when hostiles formed about 16 subs over our 1,000. Yesterday, we tracked about 1,600 subcaps from hostiles again. However, the pings from our enemies make it look like they genuinely believe they are the underdogs, taking a big risk with dropping an EU-timed Fortizar. Weird. We were taking a big risk. You guys had that system completely controlled. You could have put a jammer in there. You could have stopped us from jumping anything in. You could have formed early and blobbed us out. There were plenty of things they could have done that they chose not to do. And the idea that we're the underdog, yeah, we don't control the space. They were already there. Somebody says, on our end, the fighting in this theater had always taken the form of asymmetric warfare and harassment of structures at the border of hostile territory, blah, 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 blah. He moves on to say what I think probably pissed off a lot of people in Horde. And Gobbins is very good. This is one of the reasons why we on the show refer to him frequently as the Duck of Disappointment, because he is always willing to tell his people the bad news. And one of the things he says is, in terms of the big fights in Ketch Curse, given the current situation, I would only expect large fights to happen in China time zone. Although we will take any opportunities we can if the numbers look engageable. And by that, he means we have 3-1 odds in our favor. So that's the start of the excuses. Well, that didn't sit very well with some of the people in Horde. And we saw this post from a gentleman named Zealously Ideal Toe. Okay. What he says, and I'll read portions of this to you because it's pretty funny.
Was this the start of that copypasta? I don't think
this
I realized
was the start of the copypasta. So the rest of the week, people made posts mocking this post, or at least in the image of this post, because this post was one of the top posts of the week. It had over 300 upvotes. People liked it. It's really funny. Sitting in the Keepstar, and I'm shortly going to be leaving the system and leaving the corp. Who the fuck even am I? No one you should really care about. So he's like me. Great. I've spent 5 years in PanFam. Earliest I remember is living in Cobalt Edge and Peregrine Falls. Back then, there were fights daily due to close neighbors. I'm not the leadership fight. So I don't really understand the machinations that contribute to fights forming or what influences their outcomes or anything like that. I just know that I watch Gobby the House Elf. Wow.
Oh, God.
And the rest of the leadership just pussy out at every opportunity. This last fight in F4 was kind of it for me. Goons live streamed that bullshit for an hour, he's referring to this show, and made a complete joke of us, also referring to this show. And we made it so damn easy for them to do it because it was true. Now, if you're expecting to be me be all, oh, goon propaganda changed my mind of moving to Goon Space, Mitten sends his regards. I'm not doing that. I don't really have any plans for other than go soloing in low. Maybe finally get some fun content, but this ain't it, Chief. Gobbins, more like goblins my blue-ass balls.
Jesus Christ.
Grow a pair instead of beating your chest after doing the Eve equivalent of making macaroni art. Your members are starving for content. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So, how do you think... Mark, how do you think the Horde guys responded to this?
Well, listen, I'm going to say two things. First of all, 4 minutes on a response from Asher. That's pretty good. I'll take that.
Hey, there you go. Already heard back from Asher already.
Way better than getting a response from me, certainly, nine times out of ten. I'm going to be the voice of reason here. I know I'm not normally that person. I am always... let's call it hesitant to react too strong into a single Reddit post. Obviously, this one person, if they are legit, has some strong opinions, certainly. I cannot deny that for a minute. But is that is that opinion shared across the entire alliance? Hard to say. I mean, they still form really hard when they want to.
That's true.
They're still able to put numbers together.
Thank you, Equinox, for correcting my poor spelling. That's what I get for doing my homework the day it's due.
He's a lobbyist, not an English teacher. I would say if it were me, I can understand why you would be disappointed. You know, one of the things that I have criticized groups about in the past is putting their members in situations where they build up for fights and then the fights just never come, or maybe not even come, so much just don't make the attempt. There are a lot of things you can do, even lower engagement things that are still giving your members content, even if it's not necessarily something that you think can take an objective. And that can still be fun. There can still be something that you can do there. Refusing to do that for whatever reason is just not great. And in a game that relies so heavily on people like finding ways to compel other people to sit down and play for 3-4 hours at a time, like wait around for fleets, get in fleets, engage other people, that kind of sucks. And I can understand why that would be frustrating to some people. Right. Like I said, I don't know if this is legit. If it is, I understand it.
And that's that right there. That is, you know, I asked you, what do you think Pan Fam said in response? And the first thing they said was, oh, this can't be real. This is obviously fake. Oh, my God. It's goons in the thread, goons pretending to be Horde members. You got Sandrin saying that. You got 40,000 PH Horde members are all wrong, but this guy is right. Oh, okay. Then you got, what's the word for a goon making a fake leaving propaganda? Whatever the fuck does that mean? Propaganda post?
Mm-hmm.
His history is a handful of comments from a year ago, then this post laughing my ass off. And, of course, both sides do it.
That's true. Both sides do it.
So you see this kind of copium, and I think this was clearly something that needed. They had to do something about. They couldn't just not do anything, because if they didn't say anything about it, or at least did anything about it, then it would basically be saying that we were correct, and that is, Horde doesn't want to fight anymore, and they only want to fight when the odds are in their favor, or when you're attacking something that has some kind of financial value to them. Like, who gives a shit about the F4R2 Keepstar? It wasn't even theirs. They got it from Fraternity. You know, it's not like it's going to impact their crabbing up north, so they don't care, and they're going to let it die. So what happens? Well, we go back for the next fight, and they take this fight. But the more important point is that we took this fight when we didn't have to, when the odds were not in our favor, and when we could have simply walked away, especially because they outformed us. Now, of course, they refused to admit that they outformed us. Did we actually outform them? Well, look at the numbers. okay? At least on the good battle reports that I have seen, they had 2,385 characters. We had 2,125 characters. That's a 260 character difference. That's an entire fleet more than us. Now, I'm not saying that a single fleet is going to turn the tide, but that's significant. It's not like we were exactly the same, but that's what Gobbins argues in his next post, which is the next day, even more excuses. And he starts arguing, in case anybody tells you they were fighting outnumbered by 500 men, here are some receipts, as you can see from the BR above. And he takes a screenshot of a BR and sends it out so it couldn't update. The numbers for us were 2437, 2266, 171 Delta. Okay, so my battle report has us at 260 different. His has 171. They still had more people. Hostile chose to split a bunch of their forces to send a high sec, which is what we did, and that's why we set up for these fights this week, including 100 Sigmas completely missing from the battle report because, yeah, they were going to high sec. The numbers are basically even, and then they talk about how we lost and we brought weak doctrines and all this other kind of stuff. But the difference, regardless of winning and losing, the point is we took the fight. We took the fight. Arcadius, were you in that fight?
Yeah, I was the first on grid, first fleet, actually.
I mean, was there ever a situation where you guys talked about an FC chat about not taking this fight because we didn't have the numbers?
No. We were fully committed to this.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And we didn't have to be. We could have let this thing go and refed it another time and tried to get a better time that would have been better for us. We didn't. We took the fight. And we didn't do great. It happens. But we took the fight. And that's the difference. That is the difference. So, moving on. He continues with more of his excuses, and then he goes into this discussion of time zones. Enter Winterco and Innit. Winterco completely dominates numbers in CN time zone. Remember that, okay? Remember that. Completely dominates numbers in CN time zone, especially during working weekdays. It basically makes the hostiles unable to take any CN timers. Now, that's interesting. Because what do you expect Horde is going to do to all of their structures? Well, they put them in CN time zone. Why? So that they can get Horde and their fraternity buddies in CN time zone to make sure that they can blob us and make sure that we don't have the numbers to counterattack. But maybe this whole, it makes it impossible. Unable to take any CN timers is not exactly accurate because guess what happened yesterday? Well, when we struck the when we hit the TTT during that fight on Friday, the timers were all set for yesterday, prime CN time zone. And then we outformed them in prime CN time zone. And before you guys argue with me, this fight started at 1300 EVE. We formed up earlier than that. We formed up about an hour before that, like 1200 EVE, okay? That's 8 a.m. on a Friday in the United States. That is, it was noon in the EU, but it was 8 p.m. China time zone. This fight started at 9 p.m. China time zone on a Friday. There is almost no other time that they would have a bigger, major complete advantage in numbers over us than this fight. And guess what? They lost it. Now, granted, I will grant you, yes, this fight went on for a long time and it passed into EU time zone. But the bottom line is we took a timer in prime CN time zone and we won. And Dracarys stayed the whole time, 6.5 hours. Two dead Satoyos, irreplaceable. Two dead, irreplaceable Satoyos. The Gobbins Pensive Peach strikes again. The bottom line is, don't say we can't do something because we love to tell you that, we love to tell you and prove that you're wrong. And we did. Now, what do we get next? More excuses. hostiles formed really good numbers, and then they brought ships with the ability to get in there, and we're going to go in there, and we're gonna blap all these guys, and yeah, they're gonna have to feed real hard to kill these Satoyos. We're gonna make them feed. Did they make us feed? Not really. And I love the fact it's hard to see at the bottom of the screen, but he takes a screenshot of the battle report at a time when it looked better than it actually was for them, so that he could make the argument that, oh, it's not that bad. Well, here's the real one. The real one has us completely outforming them and has us killing a ton of stuff. And they didn't kill that much more of our stuff than otherwise, even though that was the whole thing that they were trying to do. So at the end of the day, we keep taking fights that, oh wait, that's not even the right one. Where the hell is it? Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up. Hold on a second. I got to get the right battle report. Here is the right battle report. Where is my screen? There it is. This was the right battle report. 215 to 116. I mean, look at this. The numbers are out of control. Fraternity brought 711. We outformed Fraternity. Sigma Grindset had more guys than NCDOT and PL put together. And they lost a ton of stuff, and we didn't lose that much. So the feed that they were producing, they're trying to produce, the feed they were claiming was going to happen did not happen. Go figure. So anyway, all of this goes into what I've been trying to tell you people for the last couple of weeks, and that is there's something really, really, really messed up going on in Horde and in PanFam. And to me, it looks like we have a leadership over there that is completely disconnected. They just don't know what's going on. And at this point, I want to talk to Arcadius, because we've talked about this goons, the propaganda part of the show a little bit too much. But the reason why I wanted Arcadius on the show is I don't think there is a single FC that we have that does not strike more fear into the hearts of Hordelings than Arcadius. I will tell you, watching the pings go out every time he's got a fleet up in the drone regions, it's hilarious. Like, it's constant. Arcadius is here. Guys, form up. We got to get people in fleet. I need more numbers. I need more numbers. I need more numbers. I need more numbers. Arcadius is here. What is he going to do? Please, we got to get stuff going. Yeah. How does that make you feel, Arcadius?
To be honest, I think it's really silly.
Why is it silly?
They're just blowing up my ego, right? Like, I see the pings as well, and it's absurd, you know? Like last night, as Ark has super tackles. Like, it's just Ark. It's Ark this, Ark this, Ark that. It's not right. Goons. It's not anybody else. And I know why they do it, and I think it's ridiculous. They think they're trying to, like, you know, get like a hate boner for me and try to, like, you know, get their members into fleet and whatnot. It's a very strange tactic. I don't know if it's working or not. I don't think it is. But, I mean, whatever. If that's what they need to do to get people into fleet, go ahead.
That is a strat, though. Isn't it? Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's one of those things where, like, it's much easier to vilify a person individually because you can be like, yeah, fuck that guy specifically. Like, if you just say, oh, it's goons here, they're like, okay, well, that's, you know, standard. It's just goons again. But if you're like, hey, that guy right there, fuck that guy. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Fuck that guy. Whether it's exactly. Warranted or not is, you know, who can say?
And so the last war during Vietnam, the phrase that struck fear into the hearts of everybody in Legacy and in PanFam and the Pappy side was Mr. V is typing. And now it seems like it's Arcadius is in drones.
Uh-huh. Arcadius, you know, is pinging.
It's just hilarious to me. So I wanted to talk. We wanted to talk to Ark, especially about this, but as a very, very old player, I mean, Arcadius has been in this game for a long time. I feel like he doesn't get his due. And I really hope that we can, like, let the audience know, all right, this is a guy you should be paying attention to if you have not been. So, Ark, can you talk a little bit about how you started playing Eve and how you ended up coming from where you were all the way to being in Goons today?
Yeah, of course, sure. So I started playing Eve, I think I was 16 years old, 15 years old.
Hell yeah, dude. Same.
Yeah, going way back now, actually, when I'm thinking about it. You know, I just started out like anybody else. I got attracted to Pravi Block back in the day, if everyone remembers that. That was the perfect place for new players. I started there. And I joined with our Ushakan. If you guys know Ushakan, Ushakan's extremely old alliance. Still active, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
I think it's the longest active alliance in the game at this point. Yeah.
It's Arceus alliance, isn't it?
Yeah. No, different. Well, she's in there now, I think, but I'm not sure. No, they're Electus Matari, but
that's right. That's right.
Ushra's forever. I mean, Ushra's been around from beta. I mean, they were a beta.
Yeah. You're right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's when I started to, you know, get attracted to PvP, started learning FCing, that kind of stuff. And from there, my corp, you know, we went to so many places like AAA, Tri, some alliances you guys don't even know if I mention them right now. And I think the longest alliance we were in was Severance. And I think everybody knows Severance.
Now that's to me, like, that's how I got to know Arcadius.
Oh, really?
When you were FCing for Severance and you were on the other side of the war, you were on the Pappy side. What was it like back then when you were like one of the main FCs during that war that was actually getting things accomplished, that would actually put fear into the hearts of Goons and Innit members all over the place? Because, all right, Arcadius is here. He's not one of these fuck ups.
So I'm not going to lie. At the start, we were kind of like, you know, anti-goons, goons, right? And we bought into that kind of bullshit. At the start, you know, we joined Legacy, right? Legacy was the, you know, the test and all Brave and whatnot. And it was good. We had fun. I enjoyed it. But then later on, when I got more introduced into particularly PanFan's leadership, I started to notice, like, something's not right here, right? So for the most part, I was like mid-level, right? I didn't know much was going on at the top, especially towards the end of the war. You know, if everyone remembers, like, we had you guys kept in the 1DQ constellation, right? And right. Myself and my alliance were 100% completely believing we're going to win. Okay, this is it. Right?
They got him
but
on our back feet.
That was not the case. That was not the case. And, it was during the last few days when I truly understood PanFan leadership, right? When we announced, okay, we're going to do a big push, we're going to do it, and then all of a sudden, I get told, we're not going to keep stars. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And that was it. I was like, are you actually fucking kidding me? Right?
The good old days of, we didn't win shit.
I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe it that we did all this work and we just gave up because of one person. You know, it's amazing. But after all that, you know, we left Legacy, we left Pappy, we joined up with Fire Co. Fire Co. Was led by XIX, if you guys don't know them. And during that time, we were still working with PanFam, right? And, you know, I got to know, you know, Headliner, I got to know, you know, Musky, all the, you know, the BFL guys, right?
Exactly.
And for the most part, they're good people. Like, I'm not going to say they're bad. They're actually pretty good people when you talk to them on comms. I enjoyed their company. I enjoyed working with them. And I think that's what made things really tough for me when PanFam decided to attack Fireco, right? It was a complete surprise. You know, I took it as a backstep. It was a backstep. And I even went, like, you know, I was talking to these guys in DMs and they were just like completely ignoring me. Like, you know, I trust these guys, they're my friends. And it turned out that was not the case. Right?
Did you ever get a straight answer from them at why they did it?
No, actually, I kind of got an answer. I even DM'd Goblins about it. You know, it was like, oh, you know, Constantine was the leader of Fireco. He apparently did not, you know, complete his side of the agreement. Said he lied about it, you know, like it was just all a waste of time for PanFam to deploy to defend Firesaw, right? It's not true. It's not true. From my understanding, Constantine never actually agreed to the terms of what Goblins wanted. And by the way, those terms were about Faith of Bullets specifically, right? He wanted Faith of Bullets to be like a free zone, right? So new alliances come there, PvP, whatever. But he said, Constantine did not agree to that. Constantine wanted to take more space. Whether that's 100% true, I'm not sure, but the fact is, I trust the goblins. I trusted these guys in BFL, and all of a sudden they just threw me under the bus, and that was it for me. After that, I can never trust Banff ever again.
So how did you guys end up going from Severance over to Goons at that point? Because I mean, you were in Fire Co. Innit and PanFam were fighting against you guys, pushed you out of the southeast, and everybody ended up basically sleeping on Brave's couch up in period basis. What happened next?
Yeah, so we had to evac. We couldn't fight. Initiative was in our south borders. PanFam was coming from the north. It was over. We had to get out. And we talked to Asher. And Asher, this is when I actually talked to Asher properly. And I never realized how kind of a guy he was. Like he was perfect. He was amazing. Like he said, yeah, sure. You know what? We can get you out. We'll let you move your supers. You can head up to the north, right? If that did not occur, I don't know how many people probably would have quit the game. I'm not gonna lie, including my guys. Like, there was no way out. We would have to go to NPC Sov into Curse, or we're gonna put our supers. Like, it's crazy. But so we managed to move up to the north. We hooked up with Brave up there in Pureblind, and it was good. It was fun. Like, okay, now we're away from PanFam, we can PvP. And then all of a sudden, oh look, who comes showing up? BFL. BFL being PanFam, right? And during that time was probably like the worst time I had playing Eve, because it was not fun. BFL was very good at wearing us down, very good at denying content, very good at just killing us when they know they could kill us, right? And
That
it
sounds
took more.
familiar.
Yeah, it came to a point where things are just untenable. And we came to agreement, okay, especially with our leader from Severance. He was already kind of tired of playing the game. He wanted to retire. So we all concluded, okay, let's go join Goons. They helped us out. Asher's a good guy. And they love to PvP. It's exactly what we want. We just want to have a place where we can PvP. We don't want the bullshit that PanFam likes to just throw on their members. All these fucking excuses, all these lies, blah, 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 right? So we all collectively decided, okay, we're going to disband what's left of Fire. We're going to disband what's left of B2, and we're going to merge into the Imperium. And that's how we ended up here.
Mark, that sounds like a pretty interesting story, moving around a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I can sympathize with the struggle to find a place where you can just like PvP with that bullshit, right? It is a tough thing to do. And even recognizing that there's bullshit everywhere, like finding a place where there are not entities that are actively trying to make the game unfun for you. And it's gonna be really funny, and I'm gonna predict it now. There are gonna be comments in chat currently, and on the video upload of this, whenever the VOD goes up, about, oh, but denying fun is such a goon thing. Like, that was the goon strategy for such a long time. And I'm
We're
predicting it.
not here to ruin the
We're
game. We're
not
here to
here to
ruin your
ruin your
game.
game, correct? Yes. So I don't like my response to that has always been like, certainly things change over time, right? I mean, that's pretty clear. Organizations change, people change. I don't get the impression, as a perhaps not unbiased third party, I don't get the impression that that is a necessarily the mantra anymore, which
That
is
has not
good,
been the
right?
mantra of the Goons Form Federation for almost a decade now. Just be
Yeah,
aware of that.
just like it is fun to play the game. I don't know if that's a weird thing to say. Like, it is good to deliver content to your members. It's good to deliver content to other people. Like, it makes more people want to play the game. It makes the game healthier. Like, when we're not doing things, the game is bad. Is that an unpopular opinion? I feel like it
I
shouldn't
don't
be.
think that's an unpopular opinion. I think that's pretty
Yeah.
solid.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm yeah, I my my I sympathize with all of that, and I recognize that, like, man, it's tough, dude. It's tough to, like, find a place to just play the game. It's one of the reasons why I like the wormhole space so much. And I'm not gonna get into all that, but I'm glad it's working out for you now, man. So, Arceus, I have a question for you. So now you have access to endless tools and resources. I mean, you guys, you've gone from not really so much of a starter from the bottom now we hear kind of story, but now you have bigger guns to play with. Do you find that your strategy toward or your not strategy, your approach towards FCing has changed at all since you've joined the Imperium? Or do you feel like it's a business as usual? We're connecting our fleets the same way we always have. You just have more money now, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, my style of play hasn't changed much, right? But I would say it's like day and night, okay? In terms of potential resources, in terms of numbers, in terms of support staff, etc., that kind of stuff, I'm having the most fun now than I was before.
Do
Because
you
now I
feel this is maybe a dumb question too. Do you feel like having a healthy environment for FCs make those FCs want to perform better?
No, yeah, of course.
What a wild idea. Sorry, go
Amazing how that
ahead.
is.
But yeah, it's I'm playing like every day. You guys are seeing the pings. I can do stuff. I can dock and go PvP, and that's what I enjoy. That's what I want in the game. I just want to take a fight. I enjoy a bit of drama too, of course. It's not like I don't. But
Who
I'm just there
doesn't
for the
like drama? I
fights.
guess some people don't like drama, but nobody that watches this show doesn't like drama, I'll admit. I'm
No
just saying.
shit.
But yeah, no, it's a lot better here. It's the best. And this is I'm gonna tell you right now, this is gonna be the last place. This is my last stop in Eve. That's it. If anything happens, you're not playing the game or whatever.
That
Gangster.
makes me happy because I'll be honest, having fought against you for so long during the last war, not having to fight against you and actually being able to go on your fleets now is much, much better. I prefer that quite a bit. It's good. So, all right. So, a couple of things. All right. First of all, I think it's got to be more than 6 years since we stopped saying the whole, we're not here to wreck your game. Because as far as I know, that was a Darius Johnson thing from 10 years ago, from like 2013.
Sure.
Right. It was not anything that we've been out there for. And I think, if anything, Asher has tried to demonstrate since he took over that we are a kindler and gentler goon swarm where all of that old type stuff is not around anymore. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who refuse to accept that anything has changed. And that's kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And I've made the comment before that I did not get the impression throughout my experiences working with people who have been within the Imperium or adjacent to the Imperium. That has been their mantra for a long time. But it is such a convenient thing for your enemies to use against you that it almost feels like it really feels like there should have been a little more forethought into that at some point in the past. Like it is such a convenient thing to bring up and say, oh, this is such a goon thing though, isn't it? That like I know Darius probably could have not ever foreseen, the future, right? Unlike me, I am prescient. But it like it is that is a tough moniker to break away from because it's so easy, it's catchy, it works in a
It
lot
is
of different
catchy
situations.
and it is easy. You're right. And one of the things, like, I feel like, especially today, you could maybe get away with saying that back when the game had 60,000 peak concurrent users all the time and there were tons of people playing it. Nowadays, we want everybody to play as much as you can for exactly what Arcadia says. We want fights. We want to go play. We want to have a good time. Nobody
Which is
wants to be
better for
sitting
the just
around.
better for the game,
Right.
right?
Nobody wants to be sitting around with a thumb in their ass. They want to play the game. Like, that's the part of the fun that is Eve. Now, I will say this. I didn't see who said it in the chat. Somebody said something like Mitanni was a character, but Gobbins is a real prick. Let me be blunt, okay? I like Gobbins. Gobbins is a good dude. Like, divorcing all of the in-game propaganda and all of the stuff that we say about him and how bad a leader he is and all this other kind of stuff. I like the guy. I served 2 years with him on the CSM. He's a good guy. He's very, very smart, probably smarter than anybody you know.
Yeah, no shit.
And to come from where he started, which was just as like the AT leader for his group, and then being put in charge of what were essentially supposed to be the PL meat shields, to becoming the head of the biggest alliance one of the biggest alliances in the game. Probably the ostensive head of that coalition is a big deal. And so, I mean, yeah, obviously we're going to say things like, oh, he's bad. Oh, he lies. Oh, he says this. Oh, he says that. Always, you know, he's word is bad and he's a bad leader and this kind of stuff. But keep that in mind. He's still a good guy. We just don't like him because he's on the other side.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and they say the same kind of shit about us, right? Or not us. To be clear, us.
I am the biggest egotist on the planet. To be
very clear.
I am an asshole. I am the guy who is telling the cops, "Don't you know who I am?" when they pull you over, that kind of thing. I know. I mean, that's part of the character that we all play
really?
In this game.
You fucking bastard.
Of course not. No, I would never do that. I'm not that stupid.
Oh my god.
Never do that. Anyway,
they're going to clip that so hard.
The same way with Gobbins. You know, we're going to give these guys a hard time, and we play into that. But just remember, he's not a bad guy. He's just, well,
yeah,
I guess,
I mean, it's
he's not a bad person. He's just the bad guy.
It's the fan fest thing, right? Like, talk shit to people as much as you want in game.
Right, and then you go have a beer with them. I've met him a bunch of times in real life.
It's just the way it goes. You know, I mean, anyway.
And I know some people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine. What's for those who are asking who Darius Johnson is, he used to be the head of Goons 15 years ago.
Ages ago.
And he went to work for CCP. If you want to know why we are all of our structures are in DJ's retirement fund, it's DJ was Darius Johnson. That was the name of it. So anyway, keep going. Now, Arcadius, what was your path to becoming an FC? I mean, did you just start FCing instantly when you were 16, or did it take a while? How did you end up falling into that job?
It took a while for sure. So at the start, what we enjoyed doing was like small gang PvP back when you could do that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Vagabond used to be the main thing. It was the most popular Nana Roaming shit back then. That was our bread and butter. That's where I learned all the basics of PvPing. FCing, I kind of just fell into it. I'm not going to lie. The first fleet I ever did, I actually... didn't talk on comms. I was so shy. I did not talk on comms.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like, dude.
It was like,
well,
six
hopefully
people.
At some point we'll get you unshy enough to come on camera. I'm just saying.
it one day. Yeah. So it was like six people, you know, then from there, I think the first real fleet I did was a Drake fleet, you know, good old fashioned Drakes.
Sure.
Versus another Drake fleet. And I was so nervous, to jump in, to take the fight. Right. So, I'm not gonna lie, I forgot who it was. He was a good friend of mine. He told me just jump, just do it.
Hell yeah,
and
dude.
We did it and hell we won. Yeah.
That's fucking so. That's, I fucking love that, dude. Like, I mean, like, bro, there's so much pontificating so many times that it's just like, it's so easy just to jump. It's just so easy to jump. Just press the button.
Just do it. Press the
just
button.
Do it.
What the fuck? All gates are green.
What's the worst thing that happens? You lose some ships? Oh, no. That's so sad. Do it again. Sorry. That's very cool. I like that a lot.
Wolf Jester, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here and glad you're playing Eve. So Arcades, when you started doing the FC thing, how long did it take before people started saying, all right, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm going to go on his fleets. Was it quick or was that something you had to build up over time?
It was relatively quick, right? So it was Urshakan. We didn't have many FCs at the time and we were kind of in a bad place. So I kind of just took over and started doing fleets. I was not good, okay? Compared to, like, if you want to use what I'm doing now and back then, I was terrible. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty quick. But I think the biggest moment where people started recognizing me was in Severance. And when I joined Severance, Probi Block was also, in a bad spot, right? We were fighting a group called RC. And, you know, we were completely disorganized. We didn't have the caps, that kind of stuff. And we were fighting uphill every time. And I took fights that I shouldn't have taken, right? I was losing all the time. And I think that's what kind of molded me. That's why, you know, it's like you're playing EVE on very hard. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I learned a lot then. And I think that's what helped me, to become a better FC.
So what are you doing now? What's your favorite ship now? What are you usually taking out, and what are you guys doing when you're going out every night?
So every night we're forming second fleet issues. It's a great comp, fast,
good comp. Really good
mobile,
comp.
Good DPS. You know, it's also very friendly as well for an average player. And what we do is we find any routes, find a wormhole, and we just go out. And the thing is, I always know they're gonna form for me, right? So
it's amazing. I watched the pings, and I'm like, I guess Ark is out because, you know, they're starting to whine about it again.
Yeah, it's always good. And I think they enjoy it too. I'm not saying, you know, they do it because they just hate me. I think they enjoy taking fights as well. But yeah, like we go out every night. We can get a fight every night. Actually, last night, I don't know if you guys saw what happened. We formed in really bad times in like 2200, 2300. That's like the border between EU and US.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually like, I told my guys, okay, this is a problem. Our fleet's too big.
Let's go, dude.
Nobody's right. Going to take this fight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and also because we couldn't get back, right? So we went to Panfamsov. They were forming for us. I was like, all right, finally we can get a fight. You know, it's going to be a good time. And something occurred, which I don't think it has occurred since I've been here, is that they stood down.
Really?
They stood down. Wow. The first time ever, they stood down because they didn't have enough numbers. And I was generally surprised.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2300.
That sounds like a girthy fleet.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, it was like 170, right? But Horde, which is, I don't know, maybe they were pissed off from the Satya timers. So I told my guys, listen, we can't go back because the hull is going to collapse. So we are going to have to actually lose some people. That's how that's so bad it was.
That's so fucking funny, dude. There have been, I cannot tell you how many times I've taken a fleet out and we've looked at a whole mass. We'll be like, well, we have enough mass to get in. I don't know if we have enough mass to get everybody out. And I'm like, don't worry. We won't need to get everybody out. We'll get
some people coming
out.
Back, boys. Yeah, this is a one-way trip.
This is measured democracy, my friends. It's a one-way trip.
So what'd you guys end up doing? Did you end up thunderdoming it at the end and just everybody shooting each other? Or what happened?
So I thought about that, but we wanted to do something a bit more crazy. So if they weren't going to fight us, we're going to make them fight us. Forced fight.
Okay.
So we went up to Paragon Falls. You know, that's Horde's main region. And we found a super. And you can't leave a super on its own. So they know they're going to react to it. So we worked it. We bubbled it. We started shooting it. And everything just went out of control on their side. our cast supers tackled. That was literally the first.
Nice. That's very good.
Yeah. So, and we had the right launchers. So we brought HAM, CFIs. They do like 800 DPS. So it was perfect. So naturally they reacted. They dropped supers. They dropped faxes. And we just went to town. And I wanted to do this for a while, actually. So we started killing capitals, killing faxes, and I was hoping to kill super. You know, it's kind of hard to kill super when there's a lot of faxes on grid, but they start to overreact. The pings were going all over the place. More supers are coming in, more faxes are coming in, and they're throwing a SoCav fleet. Mm-hmm. But we had a good time. We killed a bunch of caps. I think we made fun of them. I don't think we've done this before specifically, when we have in the past.
Uh-huh.
But it was a pretty serious event for them. You know, like, I think you guys remember when they dropped on us and they killed like a loggerhead, and they kind of boasted about that.
A couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
And my excuse is like, listen, you took 4 weeks to plan that. I just undocked.
That's right? It. That's great. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so
really, it's pretty good.
So we killed enough. We lost enough people that we can actually go home.
Hell yeah, dude.
So it was a good time, and I think a lot of people enjoyed it as well.
I mean, I just to be clear, and we talked about a lot of the stuff in the beginning of the show, and I gave them a hard time for not forming and not taking these fights and not being willing to take these fights. And I said this 2 weeks ago during the F4R2 fight, and I'll repeat it again because I think it bears repeating. I'm not talking about the Horde line members. They're as bloodthirsty as anybody in Goons. I'm talking about the Horde leadership. And that's kind of where I think the issue is. It's just they seem unwilling to let their guys have fun sometimes. I don't get it. Yeah, Juris Hacker is exactly right. Some of you may die, but it's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. That's a great attitude for an EVE Alliance leader, you know?
Yeah.
And
no,
I just
agree.
I don't get it sometimes. I really don't get it.
No, I agree completely. Like, I see them every day, and what I'm being told is that their FCs actually get punished, which is crazy. They get punished for losing.
That's not good.
It's a video game. You're gonna lose. I lose. Everybody loses.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. Like,
I hope that's not. I hope that's not true. I would like to imagine that there are enough reasonable people in the game to recognize that, there's nothing wrong with being frustrated after you lose, because in losing this game is just a loss of time, right? Because time forming the fleet, time having to recrab if you need more money to get, you know, replace those ships. Like, it is easy to feel like you have wasted time if you come away from an engagement and you haven't gotten that like adrenaline high out of it. But again, that can still happen even if you lose, if the fight is good, right? But to come away from that and be like, somebody needs to be punished for this, like somebody is at fault and somebody needs to, like, there needs to be somebody to blame. It's just such a cancerous attitude, dude. It just, like, there's no need for that. Like, yeah, exactly. Be frustrated. I get it. I trust me, I've been there. But like, just let it go, dude.
Ark, when was the last time you got yelled at for losing?
Never.
There you go. Goons.
I'm not sure I can imagine. I don't know if I can imagine Asher raising his voice.
No. I think I've heard Asher raise his voice once, and that was not even like even raising his voice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just have such a hard time picturing what that would even sound like.
Asher doesn't have to raise his voice. He does the "I'm disappointed in you" thing, and then you feel bad, and you just sit down and shut up. You know, in any way.
That's funny.
All right. Well, Ark, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you having you here because, like I said, I mean, if you are playing in Goons, if you have not been in an Ark fleet, I strongly urge you to go out with him. These are fun fleets and he has a good time. And if you're in Horde, I strongly urge you to, when you see the ping saying Ark's in our space, join that fleet. Go get a good fight because you know, chances are if you're sitting around waiting for a big fight, your leadership's going to say no. So this is your best chance of actually getting to have some fun in EVE Online is when Ark is taking a fleet out. Now, one last thing I want to leave everybody with before we go, and Asher mentioned this on the fireside, so I feel compelled to mention it as well. There is a big mass test on Singularity this Wednesday, the 27th, 1700 EVE. They're testing a lot of stuff, including a lot of graphical stuff, and they're looking at things, especially back-end type stuff that they're trying to fix. So I strongly urge you, if you guys are available during EU time zone, if you're there during the day, that's 5 p.m. EU time zone, that's 1700 EVE their time. It's a little early in the day for us in the U.S. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but it would be nice if we can get a good number of people out for that because I know that they are looking to do that test.
Yeah, if you've ever undocked a ship from a any kind of structure and ended up several AU away from where you undocked, please show up for this. It is important that we get as much information on this one as we can. And they mentioned that in the ping as well. Like they're testing a lot of different stuff, stress testing a lot of different stuff. But that one specifically is like has critical importance to the way people operate big fleets. So yeah, come out. It'll be fun. Plus, people haven't been able to get into Singularity for ages. So it'll be cool to open it back up and let everybody, you know, mess around for a little bit. They're testing some other stuff, they're testing like skins too, I think.
Yep, they're doing some skin stuff too, and shadows and grids as well. And the grid thing is pretty important because if they fuck that up, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
It would not be ideal
if it goes live.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Meta Show for March the 23rd, 2024. I'm Bruce Grubal alongside Mark Resurrectus. Arcadia Soul, our favorite FC of the week, is here with us. I would like to say next week, ladies and gentlemen, very important show. I'm not going to tell you why until next week, but I'm going to tell you next week is an important show. I hope that you all will join us 2000 EVE time next Saturday, a very special meta show. And in the meantime, get out there, play some EVE Online, have some fun, join an Arcadius fleet, join an Altereri fleet, join anybody's fleet. If you're in Goons and if you're in Horde, join a Muskie fleet, join a Haunting Deity fleet, come out. Have some fun. Play some EVE Online. Thank you all for watching. As always, you are the best audience in the game. Mark, what breed is your cat?
Kiki, come here. What kind of breed are you? She's a gray. I don't know what kind of color. I mean, I don't,
like a Russian blue kind of thing looking,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, kind of. But she's not like, she's definitely a mutt. Her mom was gray and white, and her dad was just a black tomcat who'd hang around the house. She mostly is just like, she's very cute. The dumbest animal on God's green earth. Like, she has nothing going. Like, if you like knock in here, it's just air. It's just like a hollow space in between her ears. So she's, you know, she's fun. She hangs out. She's
next in line to be a Pan Fam Alliance leader. That's right true. There. It's Kiki.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, from all of us here at INN, including Kiki the Cat, thank you for watching, and you stay classy, New Eden.